Hello, and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service with me, Alex Last. And today we go back to the Atlanta Olympic Games of 1996 when the Nigerian football team tried to make Olympic history.
You know, we have achieved a feat that no African nation had ever achieved, and we achieved it in style.
Nigeria, this is for you!
When we got there, people didn't know what to expect from us. We became legends.
In the summer of 1996, a Nigerian football team arrived in the United States in pursuit of Olympic glory. No African team had ever won the men's football gold medal, and few expected Nigeria to succeed. As so often was the case, Nigeria's preparations off the field had not gone well. Sunday Elise was then Nigeria's star defensive midfielder.
Nigerian football, without crisis, there's no football. There was so much infighting between the coach, which was Joe Bonfrey then, and the federation, went to America. We had very little amenities. We didn't have transportation to go to training sessions. So I had to put down my Visa card, and Bonfrey Joe had to put down his Visa card as guarantee for them to give us transportation to go for trainings.
Nigeria did have a good team, but in the Olympics, all but three players had to be under the age of 23. Still, Nigeria's Olympic team contained some of the country's rising stars: Nwankwo Kanu, Celestine Babayaro, JJ Okocha, Daniel Amokachi, and the 21-year-old Sunday Olise.
There was so much talent in the team. We had players who were very offensive, and we also had players who were willing to sacrifice and do a lot of work for the team. We were so fit physically. The team was not so crazy about money, but the team was crazy about being remembered, the family name. And a lot of the players had reasons to do well at the Olympics. So many players were having problems at their clubs. They were looking for transfers to go away. So we really had nothing to lose.
The Nigerians got off to a great start, topping their group and beating Mexico in the quarterfinal. But the Nigerian officials hadn't expected the team to get so far, so they hadn't booked a hotel for the team for the semis. So Sunday Olise and the coach Joe Bonfrey had to take it upon themselves to find somewhere for the team to stay.
And you know, here we were, about to go into the Guinness Book of Records, and we didn't have a hotel room. It's not like today where you have mobile phones and all that. We had yellow pages. So we're in the phone booth, turning pages. He was looking for the hotel and I was making the calls because I speak better English. So we did that. Eventually we found a motel, but we couldn't get a hotel, you know. It was a motel, there was no restaurant. So breakfast, we had to cross over the highway into a shopping mall and pick up some bread and tea, you know. And lunch was at the Chinese restaurant just close by, and dinner also.
In the semi-final, Nigeria faced hot favourites Brazil, whose team included Ronaldo, Rivaldo and Roberto Carlos, amongst others. Nigeria had lost to Brazil in the group stage, and few gave them a chance.
The major problem we had was Ronaldo. You know, each time the Brazilians went on the attack and Ronaldo had the ball, he was so fast. Before we knew it, we were losing 3-1. But there was so much self-belief in the team that we always knew we could do something. And then God did his work. All of a sudden, Ronaldo held his back. He wanted to change. And obviously, he was already thinking of the finals, maybe. So they took Ronaldo out. And another future World Player of the Year, Rivaldo, was coming in. This is the funniest part. Rivaldo comes in, first contact, loses the ball. Counter-attack, 3-2. Then last minute of the game, you know, 3-3.
The Brazilians, who seemed to be cruising to victory, were stunned as the game was taken into extra time. And only 4 minutes were needed, as it was that man, Kanu again, who beat the Brazilian defender outside the box, put the ball onto his left foot and slammed a great shot into the bottom left-hand corner of the net.
Kanu scored the winning goal, which was the golden goal. Well, I think we all lost our voice because we went crazy. I think most of us lost our shoes. And that's when Americans knew we'd arrived.
And now soccer and the big news here. Everybody's talking about it. Nigeria did a near impossible thing, and against no less a team than Brazil.
After this dramatic sudden death 4-3 victory over Brazil, back home in Nigeria, excitement was reaching fever pitch. In a country that was under military rule and something of an international pariah, this was something all Nigerians could celebrate.
Don't laugh now. We're so broke, too, we're not calling them back home. So, you know, it was like, but we knew the country was going crazy. But to what extent, we didn't know.
Nigeria now faced Argentina in the final. But the Nigerians were again the underdogs. And in the final, it was Argentina that struck first.
The first goal was a free header. All of a sudden, we saw Crespo was there, and he just smashed it in. We countered, and a pull-out again from the right side. I think it was Kanu who gave the pull-out. And a finishing header again from Celestin Babayaro. Celestin was, he was just too good. And only for them again to come back and score a 2-1 via a phantom penalty. We were shocked.
Then Nigeria brought on their super sub, Wilson Aruma.
We got a throw-in coming in. Wilson went in for a volley, miss-kicked it. The ball dropped in for Daniel. And he lobbed the goalkeeper, 2-2. Wilson again had done it again. And then we got a free kick. Wilson plays it. The Argentines are running out for offside. And Munike is standing, not offside. Kept on by one defender. It's for the winner, you know. I remember Ucho, Kichuku, Taribo West and myself. They were the two central defenders and I was the defensive midfielder in front of them. And we just said to ourselves, nobody's crossing the middle line anymore. Between three of us. So we just like stood like rocks. When the referee blew the final whistle, it was when it dawned on us what we had achieved. And we saw the crowd go crazy. We saw the stadium, you know.
Thank you, Nigeria. God bless Nigeria.
I am feeling fantastic. I'm happy. I am very happy.
Very, very nice. Nigeria did good. They're very nice. They're number one in all over the world. Even in Africa, they're number one. When people come to me and ask me, where are you from? And I say Nigeria, and they say, where? That question will not be asked anymore.
It was just like getting your country to a point where it's standing on top of the world.
Guys, you're like saying, man, it's our day. We're going to make history. We're going to make history. And we made it. So it's driving me crazy now. Jesus Christ. I'm so happy I got this gold, man. I'm so happy. It's from inside. It's one of the happiest days of my life.
Thousands of people defy the pouring rain on a wet, windy night to swamp the streets to cheer. Some in drunken revelry, firecrackers lit the skies, while some people carried around makeshift caskets, symbolic of corpses of Brazil and Argentina. And the military government has already declared tomorrow as a public holiday to mark the victory.
I did call home, because then we had money to call home. So I called the neighbor. We didn't have a telephone. So I called the neighbor, and then my father picked up the phone. And he was yelling. He was like, all my life, I'd never seen him yell. But that day, he was yelling and ecstatic. And he was so excited, and he was saying to me, you're owing me money when you come back. And I was like, how come? Yeah, all the neighbors are here, and they're drinking. you know, you're owing me money, but I don't care. It's all neighbors are here. And, you know, and we laughed so much about it. And then I had tears in my eyes, you know, to see him so proud and happy also. You have to smile.
Nigerian legend Sunday Olise, ending this edition of Sporting Witness with me, Alex Last.